Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
I want us everybody to turn to Titus 2:11. Titus 2:11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Thank you so much for your sowing into the kingdom of God. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men." For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. How many know He has made salvation available to every person, all mankind? Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word today. We ask, Lord, that the word would penetrate every heart here today. Lord, that the gift of God would be stirred up in our lives today. And we ask, Lord, that if there be one here that is backslidden, one that is in sin, one that is away from You, one that does not know You, I pray, Lord, make it hot in here for them today. Let conviction come. That all would be drawn to You today in the name of Jesus. We thank You for the gifts of the Spirit in operation that we may profit by their manifestation. We are depending on You, Lord. Send revival. Send a move of God. Lord, send Your Holy Spirit in our lives. And I pray that we will not leave the way we've come in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, why don't you tell your neighbor, I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. Come on, tell somebody, and then you can be seated. I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. You can be seated. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. How many know there's an opportunity for everybody to be saved? But we understand something today, that if I'm driving from here to Tulsa where I live, along many of the highways, down the middle of the highway is maybe a cement barricade, a barrier, or maybe they will have a poles with some very strong wire. I don't know what that wire is called, but I have seen people run into those things, and it keeps them from going to the other side. Now, if they really want to, and they work hard enough, that barricade will not stop them. But the barricade is there to keep people from crossing a line. And I want to read today in Luke 16, verse 22 and 23. It said, "It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Now we read this story about a rich man and a poor man. The rich man, he went to hell. The poor man went to heaven or paradise. And, before we go any further, let's make it clear. I don't think anybody believes that everybody poor goes to heaven. If that's true, then why do we have to preach the gospel to the poor? If every poor person goes to heaven, we don't even need to preach the gospel to them. They'll already go. So being poor does not get you to heaven any more than being rich sends you to hell. Are you understanding me? It just happened to be that this man was rich and the other one was poor, and I could go into that story more, but I'm going to leave it alone. But we find that the rich man in verse 24, he said he was tormented in the flame. And Lazarus, in verse number 25, he was in heaven and he was comforted. In hell, the rich man is tormented. In heaven, the poor man is comforted. And in verse 26, it says that once you die, your eternity is fixed. It cannot change. How many know once you die, there's not a prayer you can pray, not an offering you can give to the church, not a water baptism that you can do for anybody to get them changed for their eternal destination? Are you understanding that? So once you die, you have a choice. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. There is not a third choice. And I know some people, when they read this out of Luke 16, they say, well, they're talking about Sheol or Abraham's bosom or Gehenna or Hades, lake of fire, hell. I don't know what you want to call it, but none of those places you want to go to. Paradise or heaven should be every one of our goals in this building. But I believe that I'm going to say very clearly that not everyone, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, it said, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So I'm going to make it very clear, although heaven is our goal, although heaven is our aim, coming to church does not make you a Christian. There are people that go to church that he said, depart from. And then your family heritage does not make you a Christian. My grandfather was a Pentecostal preacher. My dad is 93, still a Pentecostal preacher, but it did not make me a Christian. Every one of us have to get saved on our own. And I will say this, your good works do not save you. When I hear people say, well, so-and-so died, he was a good man. Being a good man does not save you. But I'm going to be very clear. When we talk about heaven and hell, it says narrow is the way that leads to life. Then it goes on to say broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now, notice it says narrow and broad. Narrow and broad. It does not say hard and easy. It says narrow and broad. Now, I believe he didn't say, not hard is the way that leads to life and easy is the way that leads to destruction. I've heard people say it, and I'm going to tell you, I've even said it myself, that it's easy to go to hell. Well, I'm going to change my story here a little bit today, if you'll let me. And I don't want you throwing stones at me yet. Hear my whole sermon before you want to get upset. But I want to tell you the truth, and I want to tell you why, that no one but no one has to go into eternity without God. Let me say it again. No one but no one has to go into eternity without God. And I believe today this is the statement that you might have to choke down a little bit. But the truth is, God makes it hard for anyone to get into hell. You say, I don't know if I understand that. Listen carefully. There are barricades. Just like that barricade that goes down the highway and that keeps you from crossing that line, there are barricades that God has put into life to keep you from going to hell. And I will tell you the first barricade I believe that God has put to keep you from going to hell is sermons that you have heard. Sermons that you have heard. Most of you can't remember what Pastor preached last week. Well, most of you can't remember what you had for lunch yesterday. But the truth is, in 1 Corinthians 1:21, but after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So I believe there's something about preaching the gospel, sermons that you have heard. God orchestrated you to be there at that time to hear that message because he wants you to remember that through your life to keep you from going hell. See, today it is not about a skill to communicate, but preaching the cross is what is important. Preaching Jesus is the power. I never want to be called a great communicator. I am not called to give speech. speeches. I'm not called to be a motivational speaker. I'm not called to communicate, but I am today called to preach. And the message that I preach today is a barricade to keep people from going to hell. I can remember sermons throughout my life that still bless me. I can remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, there was a preacher from Houston, Texas with the longest, boniest finger I'd ever seen pointing right through me. He preached on the prodigal son, and every point was about my life. I can still remember the message. I remember a missionary, Gary Davidson from Ireland. He was from Ada, Oklahoma, and he preached about being a prophet unto the nations. And I can preach that sermon because it affected my life. And then I can think about another missionary to Brazil named Mark Lemos. Mark Lemos preached on a Wednesday night at my dad's church. And I thought, oh, nothing's going to happen on a Wednesday night. But he preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I can still tell you the points to that sermon because those sermons are barricades to keep me out of hell. Some of you may remember a preacher shouting a sermon, doing it with enthusiasm, but it's not really about being loud or soft. Although I've had people tell me I need to be a little quieter when I preach, I always tell them this: this is as quiet as I can get about Jesus, the one that died for me. Amen. If preaching is done right, it should steer you away from hell and steer you toward heaven. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were kept out of hell. And that seems like a lot of people lumped into one big group. But I would tell you, each one of them could tell you what the sermon meant to them and what the preaching did for them. If you go to hell today, you will have to jump over the barricade of sermons that you've heard. Number two. The next barricade that God has put to keep you from hell is simply this: the Word of God. The Word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Think about this. You go to ministers' conventions, they tell you today, use less scripture, less scripture, less scripture. I think that's the devil's lie, because the devil wants some company when he gets to hell. I'm not going to preach less word. I want to preach more word today, because it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Last night I turned on the news. It was not good news, but it would not have been news if they weren't telling it. And this good news that we have, it's not news until we tell it. It's good news. It is the gospel, and we learned it like this as children. It is the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Somehow, I made fun of my dad when he would quote a song when he's singing. Now I become my dad. But if you go to hell, there's a barricade that you will have to jump over. It is 66 books, 1,189 chapters. You're going to have to jump over this word right here. Jesus on the road to Emmaus, when he spoke to those men, they said, "Did you hear what happened in Jerusalem?" And they didn't know who they were talking to. And he began to explain to those men as he walked down the road to Emmaus himself, from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation. He told about himself in the Word of God. And when he was done and walked away, they said, "When that man spoke the word, our heart did burn within us." My goal today is that when I preach, that your heart would be burning in the inside, that God will bring conviction to your heart if you got sin, if you're backslidden, if you're away from God, and if you're just lukewarm today. I pray that you catch on fire for God. Amen. Listen, there was a day that Sunday school was... We wanted to know how many you had in Sunday school, not how many you had in church. Because Sunday school was important. But somehow, we've tried to make church just to be fun now. All right? How many know Sunday school wasn't always fun? We got a church in our town, their billboard, "Church should be fun." Well, I don't know, if you put the word "school," it doesn't make anything fun. Can I get an amen from the teachers section in here, all right? Now listen, some pastors are calling themselves coach now. I'm going to tell you, I will not go to a church where the pastor says he's a coach, because I don't know, every coach I had, I hated. He's the one that said, get down and do a crab crawl, son. Get down and do push-ups. Go run those bleachers. I mean, they're the ones that were disciplining me. I don't want a coach as my pastor. I want a pastor. All right, whatever. I was talking about Sunday school. We had Sunday school in Woodward, Oklahoma. I'm a teenage boy, and we had all the teenagers in one class. Our Sunday school teacher was a pumper in the oil field. He's about 5'10", and his neck was as big as his shoulders. He was strong, man, okay? We had this big lummox of a kid in our Sunday school. He's about 6'5". His name was Wallace. He weighed about 250, but he wasn't really that smart. Okay, you ever read Archie comics? Remember Moose? This was Wallace. If you don't know Archie comics, I feel bad for you. That's how I got from Oklahoma to Ohio to see my grandparents. They let us read Archie comics in the back seat. Keep your hands off your sister and read that comic book. So, we're in class. Wallace, big boy, kind of a bully, but kind of stupid. Okay, I'm not politically correct. I just want you to know. God did not name diplomat as one of the fivefold gifts. I'm not a diplomat. So this kid's just not really that smart. He's not, God, he made it through school, but barely, okay? But he was always picking fights. And he walks into class and he grabs the pumper. He says, let's do a thumb wrestle. How many know that's not violent? You know, you're just doing that little thumb thing. And I kind of looked down. Next thing I know, it'd gotten a little loud. And somehow Wallace is trying to do something to the Sunday school teacher. The Sunday school teacher picks up Wallace over his head, slams him to the ground like WWE, and he looks at all of us and says, let's pray. We didn't mess with our Sunday school teacher. All right, now, we don't do that at San Jacinto, but we probably should, but we don't, okay, because times have changed. Somebody would sue somebody, but I'm going to tell you, we wouldn't, you know, we deserve what we got. But we went in Sunday school, and it wasn't fun. We took the book of Romans and went through every verse in the book of Romans, every verse through the book of John, and we studied those verse by verse, Sunday school after Sunday school class, and it was boring, but I'm going to tell you, something happened. Those scriptures that were put in my heart, they were there that I might not sin against him. They were barricades to keep me out of hell. Amen. The next barricade to keep you from hell is simply the love of God. But God commended his love, Romans 5:8, toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, I don't know where you're at today, but whoever you are today, God loves you. I don't care if you've been told nobody loves you. You feel like nobody loves you. Even while you're a sinner, God loves you. Amen. Listen how much God loves you. Today, I believe you are God's screensaver. I don't know who you have as your screensaver, but I got my daughters on there. Why? Because I love them. They can do crazy stuff. I still love them. Are you understanding me? And I believe if you go to hell, you're going to have to jump over John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, in Matthew 25, verse 41, you'll find hell was not created for you. It was created for the devil and fallen angels. It was not created for you. God does not want you to go to hell. If you go to hell, somebody said, why? It's because God doesn't love me. No, you go to hell because you don't love God. I go to hell because God rejected me. No, you go to hell because you reject God. The next barricade to keep you from hell is simply the power of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 8, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. See, what the Holy Spirit does is he convicts and he shows you what is wrong. He shows you what is wrong. See, today, you're sitting there and you're trying to mind your own business, but somehow the Holy Spirit has a way of getting to you. And the preacher may not even say anything that steps on your toes personally, but somehow you feel like you're being stepped on today. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I was in Catacamas, Honduras, after Hurricane Mitch. That hurricane was so bad because of the rain. It rained 7 days, 24 hours. So all the bridges were washed away. Mudslides, homes were washed away. It was a horrible thing. We went in with 20,000 pounds of food, and then we brought another container of clothing, and we brought another container of Bibles that CBN gave us. We're there, and we're going to start our crusade, and I went and met with the mayor of the city. I didn't know what his religious persuasion was, but I said, we're so thankful that to be here. We want to help you any way we can. We're giving honor to whom honor is due. Are you understanding there's sometimes you don't always have to agree with every politician? You can pray they have a road to Damascus experience. Yes. That the Lord knocks them to the ground and they get saved. Amen. Can you not pray that way? Because we got a whole bunch of folks in Washington, D.C. that need a road to Washington, D.C. experience. But this mayor, I prayed with him. He was thankful for what we did to bring the food. He was overwhelmed. He said, we don't have the resources. We don't know what to do. This storm has really messed us up. I said, would you come and greet the crowd tonight and just welcome everybody to the crusade? He said, yes, I will. He came that night. My dad and I were both there, and I see this guy as he's greeting the crowd. He reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out a packet of cigarettes. And I'm thinking, oh, no. And he grabs them, and he holds them in the air, and he squishes them. And then he throws them on the ground, and he stomps on them. He said, I've been bound by these things for over 30 years. He said, tonight I'm getting deliverance. Now, he's given a better altar call than a Pentecostal preacher. He asked my dad and I to pray, and we had our back toward the crowd, and we prayed wrong. We prayed with our eyes shut. The Bible says, watch and pray. That's a joke. That's out of context. But I usually do watch and pray. That way, if somebody does something crazy, we can stop it before it gets out of order. All right? Are you understanding that? We don't get all nervous, you know. But I got my back toward the crowd, and my dad and I are praying. And all of a sudden, stuff began to be thrown onto the platform. Cigarettes, drug paraphernalia, alcohol. Hundreds and hundreds of people are coming out of their seats, throwing their stuff on the platform, wanting deliverance like the mayor of the city wanted deliverance. I'm here to tell you something. I am telling you the power of the Holy Spirit is a barricade to keep people from hell. How many know the Holy Spirit today? He knows your phone number. He knows your address. He knows how to find you. You might be trying to hide in that seat, but I pray today that the Holy Ghost gets a hold of your heart and in your life, and that you're miserable until you give your life to Jesus. See, if you go to hell, you're going to have to jump over the barricade of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. The next barricade to keep you from hell is simply this: prayers of godly people. My mom and dad praying when I was running. I had gone to Christian university, didn't make me a Christian. I was running from God. I thought, surely God is not in Norman, Oklahoma. All right? For all of you Texas fans and Texas Tech fans, I'm telling you, God is still in Norman. He is even merciful to Sooners. I got down there and I was miserable every day I was there.
And I couldn't figure it out. There's days I wasn't sinning. I wasn't breaking the Ten Commandments. I wasn't breaking the works of the flesh list. I wasn't breaking Revelation 21. I wasn't doing any of those list things, okay? I was just having a good time being a college student and still felt miserable. I came home that summer. I said, Mom, I've been miserable every day at the University of Oklahoma. She said, so your dad and I, before our feet hit the ground, we got down on our knees and we were praying, Lord, make him miserable until he gives his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's some prayers that we have been having prayed over us that you are going to have to jump over to get to hell. Maybe it was a grandma. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was a friend. Jude 1, 22 and 23, and some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. See, somebody's praying just before you reach the flame of hell, right before you're going to enter into eternity. Somebody prays and jerks you out of that fire before the flame gets a hold of you. Somebody's been praying on your behalf today. A mama's praying, an aunt is praying. A saint has prayed for every seat in this building and touched every door when you came through. There's been your mom and your dad praying. If you go to hell, you're going to have to jump over the prayers of possibly your mother and your father and some godly saints' prayers. Number six, the next barricade to keep you from hell is the blood of Jesus. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How many know redeemed is a blood word? 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious, blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He shed his blood for you. Every drop was poured out for you. When he went to the cross, you were on his mind. When he went to the cross, he did not go there for his sin, but he went there for my sin and your sin. And I'm going to tell you, it is time that you get right with God. He shed his blood for you. And if you go to hell, you're going to have to jump over the barricade of the blood of Jesus. The next barricade to keep you from hell is simply this, and I'm about done, so stay with me, is the cross. John 19, verse 16 through 18. Then delivered he them therefore unto them to be crucified. They took Jesus, led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. I'm here to tell you something. Jesus went to that cross, and there was a thief on this side and a thief on that side, and one thief mocked Jesus and said, get us off the cross if you're really King of Kings and you're the King of the Jews. The other one said, today, he said, I need your mercy, I need you. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. I'm here to tell you something. I believe the cross still breaks the chains of sin. It still breaks the chains of bondage. I'm here to tell you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is still liberty. And if you pass the cross, that is the only way that you can get to hell. Which brings me to one more thing. The greatest barricade keeping you from going to hell is Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you wind up in hell, you're going to have to cross many barricades that God has put into your life. But I'm telling you, the greatest one is Jesus Christ. When he came down the road, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He came as a sacrifice for you and I. And I'm going to tell you something. You can come to church. You can do whatever you want to do. You can try to get yourself to hell, but I'm going to tell you, the only way you're going to get to heaven is the way Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Let me close with something today. I don't always tell it. I don't like telling it when my daughters are around. They're already grown. I don't like to tell bad stuff. Because if they did it, I'd have punched them in the throat. We had revival at my dad's church at Woodward. Every year during quail season, Don Brankle would come and preach at my dad's church. Don Brankle's a great man of God, still living in Texarkana. He's an old man now, but he could preach. In the day, he preached every Sunday night for Jimmy Swaggart in the 80s. And then lots of Brother Swaggart's sermons were Don Brankle's. Don Brankle, every time he sent him an outline, was $25. So he did a lot of them. But Don Brankle was an old school hardline preacher. We had him in revival, and Sunday night I came back to church I didn't have a choice, I had to come. But my best friend was the Southern Baptist pastor's son in town. So here we got a couple of guys. I'm a sinner, I'm going to hell, he's a sinner, he's still going to heaven. Somebody will catch that later. All right, we were sinners. But we went to revival that night, and in those days, we played basketball, and to be on the team, you had a lot of rules. Your hair couldn't touch the top of your ear. You know, if you got caught smoking or drinking, you're off the team. It didn't matter if you did it at your mama's house. Didn't matter if you did it at the lake house. You're off if he heard about it. Well, so we decided we're going to do a few things secret. So one day after church, he said, what do you want to do? I said, well, we can go to Mazio's or Pizza Hut. That's the only two choices. Dairy Queen's already closed. He said, well, why don't we just go smoke some dope? And I'm like, okay. You know, didn't take much to convince me to sin. I was a sinner. I'm 16 years old. I said, but man, we used to drive 15 miles to Fort Supply Lake. That way nobody'd see us smoke dope, and we wouldn't get kicked off the team. But we'd come back into town, be the life of the party, ha, 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 and eat a lot. Some of you will catch that later. I said, I don't feel like driving to Fort Supply. I don't think I have enough gas in my car. I said, but my dad's out with the evangelist and mom. They're going to go have a steak after church. I said, why don't we just go to my house? Sin will make you really stupid. So we go to the house. We're just going to smoke in the garage. We got it going like Cheech and Chong out there. Our house sits on a hill. We can see into town. My friend's looking out the window of the garage. He said, that looks like your mom and dad's car about a mile up the road. And I said, nah, they're still with the evangelist. It's way too early. They're having a steak with Brother Brankle. He said, I think it's your parents. That car pulls to the corner that's coming toward my neighbor. He said, I'm pretty sure that's your parents' car. I said, it's not my parents' car. Quit worrying about them. Car pulls in the driveway. I said, it's my parents. He said, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. I said, unplug the garage door so they can't open it. I said, and then when they come in the front door, I'll plug it back in and open it, and maybe nothing will happen. And I said, and you run out the front door and go home and don't say anything. I'll take all the blame. He was happy to do that. He was like Eddie Haskell anyway. He went by my parents and said, see you, Mr. and Mrs. Eccles. You know, if you don't know who Eddie Haskell is, you need to know. So he goes home. Somehow the door to the garage opened into the house, and that smoke is just rolling in. And I knew I'm in trouble. So I went in the bathroom, locked myself in. I'm trying to get my wits about me. What am I going to say? Because it's not going to be good. I'm sitting there, and I got myself locked in. My dad opens the furnace door. He's looking around. He says, Dorothy! With a really authoritative voice, I knew something. It was going down. I'm going down. He's knocking on the door. He said, get out. I said, just a minute. Like I'm taking some more time, you know. Finally, I come out. He said, what's been going on here? And I will tell you, I never lied to my parents. Because we learned in church that all liars have their place in the lake of fire. And I believed it. But that day in the bathroom, I started thinking, you know, I might need to lie a little bit today. I'm going to get myself in trouble, but not in as much. And I said, he said, what's going on? What's all this smoke? I said, well, I was smoking a cigar. Because I knew that'd get me in big trouble, but not big, big trouble. He said, you're lying. He said, I know what a cigar smells like, son. He goes and sits down on the bed. He asked my mom for the phone book. My mom brings him the phone book. He said, I don't have my glasses. Look up this number, Dorothy. She said, look up Harvey Rutherford. I said, why are you calling Harvey Rutherford? He didn't answer me. Harvey Rutherford was a highway patrolman in my dad's church. He starts dialing the number. He said, if you're not telling me the truth, he said, it might get me in trouble, but I'm calling him to arrest you. He said, I know how church people are. He said, I pastor, he didn't tell me this, but I knew he pastored the largest church in town. And, you know, everybody expects the pastor's kids to be perfect, but they don't expect their kids to be perfect. Ooh, that's good preaching right there. He said, if you're not going to tell me the truth, I'm getting you arrested. He keeps dialing. I reach over and push that thing down. He's dialing like this. You remember this? I push the thing down, and I began to tell him the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. He gets mad. He's mad. He doubles up his fist. He's the middleweight Golden Glove champion of Ohio. I've seen him still. He's not a little weenie. He doubles up his fist, and my mom goes, Bill, you know how much we spent on his braces. I say, thank you, Jesus, for braces. Thank you, Jesus. He undid it, clenched his fist. He starts crying. He points at me. He said, you're not going to get to hell from my house. That's what he said. He put a barricade up. I'm going to tell you, I don't like telling that story, but I will tell you, it's been over 45 years since I smoked any dope because my dad put up a barricade. I don't know what you got to do, but I'm telling you, some of us think, well, it's easy to get to hell. There's been barricades put in your life. God does not want you to go to hell. He's not willing that you perish, but he wants you to come to repentance. But you've got to do it. He doesn't make you. I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to listen to me right now. And for about the last maybe 2 months, I've been using this over and over. We all have an appointment we're going to stand before God. We know that. I always ask, are you ready to meet God? And I say, if you got sin in your life, you're not ready. You got disobedience, you're not ready. I used that for 40 years. 2 months ago, I was walking to the pulpit in Midland, Texas. And the Lord just dropped something in my heart that seemed so easy. I don't know how I'd missed it all this time. But he said, if you don't forgive, I don't forgive. If you got unforgiveness, that's on that list. He said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And yet we come to church. I'm putting another barricade up. Some of you got unforgiveness. But I'm telling you something that's true today. And that's going to be a barricade to kind of try to keep you out of hell. Because I'm going to tell you, if you say, well, I just don't like my sister. You don't know what they did to me. People fight about everything. Some of you went to a church and you had to leave because you didn't like the people there. And some of you went to, used to sit on one side, now you sit on the other side because you don't want to talk to people. How many know speaking in tongues loses its credibility if we won't talk to one another? A few years back, I was willing to fight my sisters over a stupid piano that I can't even play. Are you understanding? I can play every song in the songbook with two fingers on each hand, and I'm willing to fight my sisters and be mad at them over a $300 piano. I just decided, you know what? I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to heaven. You can have everything in my parents' house, just don't ask me to move any of it. You gotta make a decision. But that's how stupid some of our unforgiveness is. It's over the dumbest little stuff. If you got sin, disobedience, or unforgiveness, I'm gonna tell you something. You'll go to hell with those things. But you can be forgiven of your sin, you can get in obedience, and you can be forgiven. Bow your heads, close your eyes in this place.